Welcome, everybody, to Rantpocalypse Talks, Cinemax and Skybound and Robert Kirkman's amazingly awesome TV show, Outcast. I'm Justin.
Hey, I'm Kelly. And together, if you don't know us, we are a actual mother and son team. I am the mom. He is the son.
I am the son.
I know that it gets super confusing sometimes, but...
It does get confusing. I mean, I've seen many a YouTube comment of like, okay, who's the mom and who's the son in this relationship? I'm not quite 100% certain. So we are very excited. We're very late at doing these reviews as well. I have been a super fan of the Outcast comic books for quite some time now. We were just talking about it. We were just comparing our comic collection. I have the comics individually, and then I have the volumes as well. So I've got volume one, which has got a very cool cover, and it's got Kyle outside of his house kind of looking very saddy pants, and it's called A Darkness Surrounds Him, which is the episode that we're also going to be talking about, A Darkness Surrounds Him, season one, episode one, the premiere of Outcast. Then I've got volume two. It's A Vast and Unending Ruin. It's a pretty cool title, and this one is my favorite one. This is the one that just came out, volume three. It's This Little Light. Such a cool cover. Love this one. Have not read this one yet, and I've heard that this is the one, like issue 13 is the like holy balls moment where you just lose your shit. So I don't know if I want to read it or not, though.
I'm just a loser. I'm just collecting them one by one.
No, that's the better way to do it, but I don't want to read those.
Because, I know. You don't want to get your nasty little oils on them and...
Exactly. I don't want them to be all grody and stuff. Yeah. So I make sure I only read the trades. I buy the individual issues. But that's not what we're here to do. We're not here to talk about the comic book per se. We're here to talk about the show. Now, we may bring in some random tidbits from the comic books as well, just to kind of compare and contrast them. But I will say that we could never do as good a job as Skybound, because holy crap, they've got this amazing series that they're doing. I didn't see the one for episode four because that's what it's already up to right now, but they're doing panel to screen. And so they're going through the entirety of each episode, you know, showing you the differences and the similarities from the comic book to the TV show. It's great. I love it. So definitely go check that out on Skybound's YouTube channel. So we may throw a few things in, but mostly we're going to be focusing on the show, and we're going to try and do these reviews relatively quickly. We're already like, you know, probably 2.5 minutes in.
Exactly.
Into the show.
Yeah. Fingers crossed we can do this fast.
Yeah. Fingers crossed. All of them and your toes.
Yeah. I must say, I think I'm going to have a hard time watching this show actually at nighttime.
Yes. I did that for the first episode, and I actually watched that one. Excuse me. I actually watched that one maybe a month before it even aired, and I watched it at night. Super duper scary, super creepy. I think during the day is probably the best time to watch Outcast if you're a scaredy pants like us.
How could you not be? This is a truly creepy show, and I had actually I'd kind of forgotten. I just went back and watched it again. I'd forgotten how extremely creepy it is. Anytime you get into supernatural kind of stuff like that, I'm like, oh man, maybe I'm next. Oh dang, I like all my fingers. I don't want to have to bite them off. You know, it's just scary.
It is very scary. The supernatural stuff has always scared me probably since I was a kid. I'm pretty sure I was subjected to having to watch Poltergeist way before I should have watched Poltergeist, and it scared the living crap out of me. All kinds of demonic possession type shows, books, you know, movies. That's always the creepiest stuff for me. I never would have thought in a million years that I would have been so into Outcast, but I'm loving it. It's so much fun. I feel like there's so much more behind these, you know, demonic possessions. I feel like that there's something larger building up. It's not just like these. I get that right now we're just getting these individual cases of it within the show and within the comic books, but I feel like there's something larger at play with these possessions, and I can't wait to find out more. So getting into this episode, which was, again, episode one entitled The Darkness Surrounds Him, what did you think overall getting to see this show come to life?
I thought this was like I said, I mean, it was extremely creepy. I love Kyle. I love the character. Because at this point, all this crap just keeps happening to him. We see like maybe he's the catalyst for this, and he doesn't deserve it. But he's a nice, warm character that isn't like the superhero kind of guy.
Yeah, I like that a lot about this show. The fact that the characters are grounded very much in reality. This is not. I get we love The Walking Dead, and this is from Robert Kirkman, and so I'm sure some people may try to see some similarities between the characters, but I see really no similarities.
None at all at this point, anyway. I guess maybe if we talk about the fact that, you know, Rick Grimes was just an everyman who had to become so much bigger from The Walking Dead. Maybe that's that's the only thing I could think that they would see as a similarity.
The only similarity that I can see is the fact that they're both
dark hair. Both have dark hair.
They both have dark hair. Yes, okay. But they're both centered in very small towns, like very rural cities in America. That's where Robert Kirkman grew up, in Kentucky. I think that's where he grew up in. And he gets those places, which I feel the same way.
Yeah.
You probably should as well, because, you know, we both lived in very, very tiny rural places whenever we were younger. And
you can't even count them as a town. They were so small.
Yeah, exactly. They were basically villages. Yeah. And I really like this world that they built in Rome, that Robert Kirkman has built. And by the way, he wrote this episode as well, and it was directed by Adam Wingard. Adam Wingard has done movies like You're Next, VHS, and The Guest, which are all very awesome, very creepy movies. And he does a fantastic job with the soundtracks in those movies. I don't know if he worked on that for this episode. I'm assuming that he did, because it did have a very cool soundtrack, music that was playing throughout the entirety of the episode.
It was really cool. Did? Really? I never even heard it. I mean, it was so bad. I was so, you know, on the edge of my couch, and I just, when I get to the freaked out factor, I really don't listen, unfortunately, sometimes to the music. Although I know in subliminally, it's adding to the whole creepiness of it.
That's very true. Yes. There were some moments where especially the ending song, like the ending song that we left on was really cool. It is an 80s song. I'm not really sure what it was, but I like that. I'm trying to think. So, okay. The introduction of the characters, because that's basically what we're doing in this episode, is we're introducing all of us, the TV show viewers, to the world of Rome, West Virginia, to our characters, Kyle, Reverend Anderson. We see Kyle's sister, which I guess it's technically a sister-in-law or something.
No, she's adopted.
Adopted, yes.
It was her family that took him in after his mom was put away.
What do you call that? Is it just your sister?
Well, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know these technical words.
not biological.
Yes, not biological. And I don't know. But anyways, it's his sister. We're just gonna go with that. Yeah. There's no technicalities on that. That's his sister. But she even gives him shit about it. You know, the fact that he's such a loner in the show. And I mean, Kyle has had such a very, very shitty upbringing by the fact that his mom was possessed whenever he was a younger boy. And I mean, good God, she put his ass through the ringer. There was recently a story about a grandma, you know, switching her grandkid or something, like taking the switch and put it on the grandkid. Right. And she got arrested for that shit.
I know.
Man, that little kid, he better be glad that he didn't have Kyle's mom for a mom. Because holy hell.
He did at least eventually learn to take crayons into the pantry when she, you know, shuts him in there, and, you know, because he had to have something to do. So he, you know, was able to draw.
True.
Why would you want to live back in that house that had all of those horrible events happen to you? What would make you move back to it?
I would not want to move back to that house. That's such a a place of painful memories. I mean, and that's what's cool about the show. I love that they weave the flashbacks in with, you know, him seeing different parts of the house, because he didn't live there. You know, this is a recent, you know, move for him. He didn't live there for very, 5 months that he's been there. So I do love, I love that. I didn't know how they were going to weave all of the little flashbacks and stuff, because that's how they do it in the comic book. I mean, they've got, you know, you're telling Kyle's backstory and how he came to meet all these demonic possessions and everything, and how they came into his life, how they've affected him. So I love that the way that they weave that into the show.
Sad to me when we do get those flashbacks and he's so clean and just this, you know, I mean, super, you know, straight looking dude that has obviously had to work really hard to get to that point. He's got this beautiful home and his beautiful wife and his beautiful daughter. And he was working hard to be normal, and the demons wouldn't let that happen. And I just, it's heartbreaking to me.
No, it's very heartbreaking. I can't wait to find out why. Like, that's the thing. I've heard, you know, like I said at the top, I've heard that issue 13, like, there's a major revelation in that issue, and you come to find out a little bit more about what exactly is going on. I won't spoil it on here, you know, in our reviews or anything like that, because this is just for the TV show, but I may do a separate video because I cannot wait to find out, because it's a very slow burn in the comic books, and I like the way that they're building up the world in this first episode. It's just great. We get such an awesome introduction to all these characters. We see how that they interact with one another. It's fantastic. We see Kyle's a little bit of Kyle's background with the beatings from his mom. Yeah. He's just like wondering what the hell is going on. Why is this happening to me? Could you imagine how tragic that would be to have to live through that with your mom? Just being so horrible to you. Yeah. And he even mentions it in this episode, the fact that what did he call it, the happy times, or the happy house or something like that, because, you know, obviously he had moments when his mom wasn't like this to him, and then to make it through that, like you said, and come out of it on the other side a fairly well-adjusted individual. Like, I wouldn't even say fairly, it looked like he was extremely well-adjusted. We got that little scene between him, his wife, and his daughter, as his wife is just beating the shit out of his daughter, and he has to go in there and, you know, get her off of him. So get her off of her.
And obviously he's the one that gets blamed for this, apparently.
Yeah.
Because he's no longer able to see his daughter anymore. Which, again, another thing that just makes you just feel so much for this poor character. And I love that they've done that immediately, one episode in, and I really like Kyle.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I mean, he's a really interesting character. I can't wait to find out more about this character. And I love Patrick Fugit as Kyle. For me, that was, you know, having read the comics, and we should have prefaced this at the top. You have them. You haven't read them yet, so this is all new to you.
I own them because because we knew as soon as. As soon as the idea that the TV show was going to be made, I think I started collecting them as soon as the comics came out, just because of the fact that it was Robert Kirkman.
Exactly.
I read the first one and loved it, but I'm really bad about, I collect them, and I love comics so much that I don't want to let myself have so much pleasure by reading all of it and then having that period of time till it comes out the next month. I'm super bad about that. And so then I stop reading them.
No. I mean, I think that's why I got out of comic book individual issues. Like, I just completely stopped. I can't. The only one that I read every month is The Walking Dead. Everything else, I'll collect them. But I typically wait for the trade to come out. Right. And then that's where I read them, because the trade, this one collects issues 1 through 6. So you get a nice big chunk of issues in a row, as opposed to, that waiting is
hard.
So tough. And
that's why we all marathon stuff on Netflix, because, you know, we're not good at the wait. What does that say about us as a society?
Oh, well, we're all going downhill. I mean, we're basically going to be living in the world of Outcast and The Walking Dead here pretty soon.
Yeah.
I had an interesting thought while I was watching and reading Outcast. And this is not true. Like, I know that this is not going to ultimately happen, but I just thought it would be interesting because the both of them are created by Robert Kirkman. And he said that he does have an ending in his mind. Like, even before the pen or the pencil hit the paper on Outcast, he had mapped out the entirety of the run of the comics. Like, he knew the ending, what that was coming. This is different from The Walking Dead, because he has said, like, you know, for the longest time, he's like, this is never going to end. I think he's since changed his tune a little bit, and he knows how it's going to end and everything. But I think he's like, I'm going to let this bitch go until it dies.
I'm making a lot of money on this. Yeah. And so, yeah, whatever I thought was the ending changed.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to have a whole lot in between that ending. But I just thought to myself, like, what if the events of Outcast is what ultimately led to The Walking Dead?
We never find out what the virus is. So far, we've not found out what the virus is. And that was part of the reason we were super excited about Fear the Walking Dead, because they told us that it was going to be at the very beginning. So we thought, hey, we're going to find out what it is.
Exactly.
You could be right. Maybe.
It would be very interesting. I get it. You know, people are probably screaming at us like, oh my God, that's so stupid. That's so stupid. I get it. Yes, it is a very, you know, in conceptual like terms, it is probably very dumb, because these are demonic possessions. And then we have The Walking Dead, where they can become reanimated through dying or anything like that. My point is, and especially like when you look at characters like Herschel, you look at characters like Reverend Anderson,
right?
And you see the fact that, you know, Reverend Anderson, he believes like something larger is happening throughout the town, and you know, what's going on? Why are all these instances showing up? And we'll find out more as we go along in the show.
I'm so curious, because and you have read it had in the comics, so you probably have a better idea. But is it this town? Is it, because I don't know where Kyle moved to with his wife and daughter. So I don't know
it. Charleston.
Okay, so they were living away.
Not too far, but yeah, they were still in West Virginia, though. I guess so. Right, Charleston, West Virginia. That's
North Carolina.
Well, I know Charleston. No, South Carolina.
Hey, you say West Virginia. Ooh, man. Please.
Well, no, they're in Rome, West Virginia.
Can you edit that part out?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I'm leaving that in there. Your Twitter name down there is Ditzy DJ.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I don't know, and I'm interested in finding that as well. Okay, so getting back to this episode in particular, I will say I love the kid actor that played Joshua. His name was Gabriel Bateman. Not really sure. Probably Gabriel. He did an amazing, amazing job, because holy shit, I was never so frightened by a kid actor probably since Pet Sematary, because whew, that kid did an amazing job playing Joshua.
He did this lovely job, like you said, because he was the sweet kid with this, you know, he's got this sweet angel face. But the maturity that he was able to put on, you know, I mean, as soon as Kyle walks into the room, you know, I know you, you know, you're Kyle Barnes, and just he was so great. And then by the time that we get to where Kyle has, you know, basically got the demons out of him, and he does this little mommy. he just is you're right, amazing actor. And when and I am skipping ahead, but at the end when we see the kid in the ambulance at the very end, and he gives Kyle just that little smile,
it was a reassuring smile. Yes. Like, you know, hey, I'm good now, thank you mm-hmm. for doing what you did. Because yeah, I mean, if you're Kyle and you're literally beating the shit out of people, and they seemingly somehow get better after you go Mike Tyson on their ass.
Yeah.
That's a little bit awkward and probably a little bit jarring to come to terms with. So yeah, I love that little nod that he gave him. I loved everything about this kid in this episode. That was one thing that they definitely did change from the comic book to the TV show, is the opening scene with Joshua. They just added a little bit more to it, which was perfect. Like in the comic book, they open with him basically biting his finger off. That's where it kind of opens up right there. You know, you see his mom and his sister fighting, and you know, he's over there munching on something, and then the mom's like, you know, Joshua, what are you doing? You already ate. And he's like, bit it already off. But in the show, I just thought it was such a more gruesome, creepier open. I mean, imagine that. This is how you open a freaking TV show, is a little kid bashing his skull in basically to kill a bug, and he eats it. Ooh. Yeah.
It was, I know I had talked to somebody about the episode. I said, hey, are you watching Outcast? And they're like, nope. Soon as I saw that kid, eating that bug with his bloody forehead dripping and, licking it off the wall, they're like, nope, not watching. So I was like, I could see how that's not for everybody. But I
but
did love
for us.
Yes, exactly. I loved that Kyle made what I felt like was the discovery that it's his blood, that if they drink his blood, gross, then that's when the transformation, that's the demons can't handle that.
Yes. I don't know everything about that yet still. Like, I mean, I'm literally, like I said, I'm 12 issues into the comic book and I still don't know why that is. So I think that may be a slow reveal for us on the TV show, because I'm really fascinated by that. What is it within Kyle that hurts these demons? What is it within Kyle that drives them out?
Well, and they're so compelled by him, it seems like they want something from him.
He's
like
the outcast.
Well, and you remember in The Green Mile when the big black dude would do that sucking thing that he would do, but he'd be. You don't remember it?
I have no.
They
clue
open.
What you're
they open.
About.
They open their mouths and he's sucking out. He would suck out all the badness out of them. In this, it seemed to be the other waves. Like the demon was sucking some essence from Kyle. Some I don't know. His spirit. His soul.
That didn't hurt them though. That's you're right. I mean, that's where I'm confused.
But it was something that they wanted.
Exactly. Basically, they're Shang Tsunging him. They're like, your soul is mine, and they suck it out of him, but they don't suck it out by his hand. They don't have cool powers like that. They do something creepy where they're like almost getting close to kissing Kyle. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, it looks to me, that they're just sucking the life essence out of him. That there's something within Kyle, obviously, that they want. The fact that the little kid knew everything about him whenever he came into the room for the first time. He's like, you're too big to fit into that little pantry now. And then when he comes back, he says, you're brave to come back. And there was something at the very end. Oh, what did he say? Oh, the great merge cannot be stopped, is what Joshua said. So I definitely feel like we're going to get more about this great merge here in the future. And I can't wait to find out what exactly it is. Who's your favorite character thus far on the show? We got introduced to basically all the players that are relatable to Kyle in the sense that Kyle is known in his life.
Okay, so if other than Kyle, obviously.
Yes, other than Kyle.
Okay, the Reverend, the preacher. I love him. I feel like this is going to be a good buddy-buddy kind of, they're going to make an awesome team. And I could be wrong, but I don't feel like that this is the last that we'll see of them working together.
No, definitely not. No. I can give that spoiler away. I mean, this is definitely all about their journey into finding out what is going on with these demons possessing people. So no, you're in luck. They're going to be together a whole lot more in the show, which is really great.
All right. So who's your favorite character?
I really liked Ren Schmidt as Megan, his sister. I thought she was great.
She was. I love her sarcasm. It was a very brother sister bond that they had going on. The way she would give him shit about the fact that he stunk. It's just she pulled no punches, and I liked that.
Yeah, I mean, she brought up poop 3 times in this episode.
Yes, so, I knew you would be
perfect.
Yes. We love any good poop talk, that's We're yeah. all over that.
You're going to get good marks from us whenever you bring up some poop humor on the show. Yeah. I loved her. And then, of course, I love Reggie Cathy as Chief Giles. I love that addition to him in the show, because in the comic books, it's some older white guy. I mean, so they changed that up. And yeah. I'm glad they did, because I love Reggie Cathy. Like, I think he's great. I think he's going to be great on the show. I
hate Megan's husband. Mark
yeah,
Mark is a dick.
Uber douche, yeah. Sure.
I still don't understand how he felt like it, you know, taking Kyle to jail was the way to go. The Reverend standing there, totally free, obviously. Why was Kyle in the back of a police car with, you know, is he not supposed to be around children at all?
Well, I think the thing is, and we'll get more backstory on Mark in the future, but he hasn't come around to the fact that Kyle is not in prison, because like you talked about earlier, he did get the blame for Allison, his wife, and the daughter being quite beaten up.
Yeah.
And so that's why, you know, he has to stay away from his wife and his daughter.
Yes.
And you know, he had to come back home and yeah. So
they
Mark
live in the crap house.
Yeah, exactly. Live in that dump house. He's slightly fixing it up, but I don't think any level of fixing it up other than demolishing that house and building a new one's going to fix that. But yeah, we'll get more on Mark in the future episodes. But you're right. He's an uber douche in this episode.
Yeah. And I'm super curious what happened to Megan that Kyle, because, you know, Megan and Mark talk about the fact that, you know, I know what he did for you, you know, we're grateful to that. And I'm like, oh, what did he do for you? How did he help you when you were kids?
So prediction time, what do you think it is? I know already, but what do you think?
I feel like it has something to do with rape. Somebody was raping her. And he stopped them.
It's a good guess. We'll find out probably, I would think, sometime in the first 5 episodes. You find out about that fairly quickly in the comic books. But yeah, it is an interesting bond that Megan and Kyle have within their relationship. So it's really, really cool. I can't wait for people to find out what it is, because it's going to lead to some really cool moments. Okay, so I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I wanted to cover off on. Oh, I wanted to say, really cool, neat little touch in this episode is that Xavier Malls from The Walking Dead. She's in this show, which is really cool. She is Reverend Anderson's assistant. She's church secretary. I don't know what her position is, but she's in the show.
I didn't notice. She must not have been coughing a lot.
No, she was not.
That must not have been. So I didn't notice her. So
yeah, she's in it. And also, before I'll mention my other thing here in a little bit. So what do you give your score out of bacon? If you're new to the channel, we like to score our TV show episodes out of bacon, because it's the best thing ever.
Bacon is the best thing ever. And we do it on a 1 to 5 bacon scale. And I give this a 5 bacon. 5. Oh, wait, that makes 10 if I do that. So just 5. You.
Awesome. I am the exact same, 5 out of 5, because for me, I've waited quite some time to see the panel to the screen to see how that translated, and it translated beautifully. This was almost an identical recreation of the first issue of the comic book. They added a few things that happened in subsequent issues and sprinkled them into this premiere episode, but it worked amazingly. It was super cool to see all these characters come to life. It was super cool to see the world come to life.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, a question that I have, maybe you have an answer for, is the fact that we're on comic book number 13. How fast can Robert Kirkman get these comics out compared to the episodes of the show?
Well, I think it's up to issue 19, I think is what it's on right now. I don't know. That is a question of mine as well, before the show even aired, because I thought, man, this is really quick compared to The Walking Dead, which was, I don't remember exactly what issue we were.
It was like 79. I mean, it was way into
it. Yeah, it was quite a few years. I mean, it was 7 years into the comic book run, because he started in 2003. And with this comic, I mean, he just started recently within the last couple of years. I don't know. That is very interesting. I can't wait to see how that plays out, because, like I said, you know, this one covered issue one and then like had a few, like I said, characters that were sprinkled in. Not major spoilers, like Norval, his neighbor. That was a little
loved bit, him.
Yeah, he was great. But that happened a little bit later in the comic issues. It wasn't in issue one. And just like I said, just very, very minor differences that they added certain things in that didn't happen in issue one, but they didn't really impact the overall plot. It was just like they introduced characters a little bit earlier in the show than they did in the comic books. I don't know. That's going to be interesting to find out whether or not he can keep up, because even the comic books have been a little bit slower than The Walking Dead. Like, he cranks those Walking Dead comic books out like nobody's business. He does two in 1 month sometimes.
Cha-ching, cha-ching, yeah. Cha-ching.
Yeah, cha-ching is right. It may be the artist. Paul Azazeta is the artist in the comic book. He does a freaking amazing job making it super creepy. He's so, so good. But maybe he takes a little bit longer than Charlie Adlard to do the art for the comic books. Good question. I don't have an answer. You know, the Game of Thrones, they just surpassed the books on the TV show.
And a lot of people have complained about how the season has turned out.
But a lot of people are really pleased with it, though. Like, overall, I think it was better than season five.
I gave it five bacons, please.
I know you did. Okay, so back to my score, 5 out of 5 bacons. It was creepy as fuck. The awesome intro by Atticus Ross, amazing job. Thank God Atticus Ross did a super cool one to this TV show.
Instead of the one you hate. Yeah.
Fear the Walking Dead, not so much. Fantastic episode. Loved it. We went a little bit longer than we probably wanted to on this review. We'll try to keep the next three reviews to catch back up to where the show is a little bit shorter. And I think we're going to do our top three for each episode. So we hope you liked our rambling talk of the first episode. It is just phenomenal. If you don't get Outcast, find some way to get it. Subscribe to Cinemax. Okay. I don't know.
I'm sorry. I thought you were going to say bad things about, you know, pirating things and all.
No. Don't pirate it.
I don't want to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't pirate it, but, you know, maybe find a relative that has Cinemax. You know, that's
there you go.
Not pirating it.
No. Or just go to their house and watch it.
Exactly.
Whatever,
you have know. Watch there. Parties for Outcast. It's a really, really damn good show. So
I think that's the only way to watch this show is with other people.
Yes. So that way you can hold one another through the creepy, creepy moments. So we'd love to hear all your thoughts on episode one in the comment box down below. And if you want to email us, it's at rantpocalypse on gmail.com. It's just rantpocalypse at gmail.com.
Yeah.
You can go find us on Twitter. It's at rantpocalypse. And thanks so much for watching. If you liked our videos, please hit the like button and subscribe for more Outcast content in the future.
Thank you. Bye.
I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. Hey, hey. Well, I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. Hey, hey. Said I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. And if I share with you my story, would you share your dollar with me? Bad times are coming.